Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. They are some of the most important people in the office. They are the gatekeepers at the front door, the guy or girl Friday for the boss. They have titles like administrative or executive assistants and sometimes even chief of staff. We know how important their titles are, but are they treated in the same way? Well, tomorrow is Administrative Professionals Day. And today we are talking about their challenges and struggles on the job. My guests are Mia Crosby. She is an administrative professional with more than a decade of experience in government relations. April Miller is a special assistant to the president of the D.C. Chamber of Commerce. And Deborah Owens, founder and chief executive officer of the business and career consulting firm Corporate Alley Cat. If you have a comment, if you have a question, if you are not being treated well on your job as administrative assistant, executive assistant, an all-around girl or guy Friday, I would like to hear from you. The lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Ladies, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Okay, Deborah, let me start with you. These jobs are not secretarial anymore and haven't been for quite some time. Give me a working definition of the kinds of people and jobs we're talking about here.
Well, for the executive assistant role or administrative roles, I think you're absolutely right. We can't just look at that title as a secretary or a girl or guy Friday. These are people who often have undergraduate degrees, master's degrees, previous experience. They're very tech savvy. Often these roles, they have a lot of responsibility. Sometimes they're in decision making roles. They're very connected within the organization. They know everything that goes on in the organization. They know a lot of people in the organization. And I've always said to my community, these are people that you want as your friends. These are not people you want as enemies. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
That's fair.
Because your interaction with someone's executive assistant or administrative assistant can travel. So if you're that person who's very nasty to the assistants, but then you get in front of the executive or the manager and you're all smiles, that assistant is going to share that. And that executive will know that about you. That doesn't mean that they'll tell you that they know. But decisions may be made based about your opportunities with the interaction that you have with their assistants.
And a lot of times these people are extensions of the boss
they
or of the
manager. They are extensions. They know how they think. They know how they operate. They know who they have relationships with, who they have good relationships with, who they don't have good relationships with. I know I've used executive assistants to say, is this a good day for me to bring up X, Y, and Z? And they may say, it's crazy today. You're not going to get a lot of time. It's going to be rushed, right? So they can even give you the pulse of what's going on. I think the other thing people forget is I often think of, forgive me if I'm using the wrong term, executive assistants as the gatekeepers.
Well, I was about to say that was the example that you just used.
If you can't get past the gatekeeper, you can't get to the executive. And here's something people often forget. I may see you out, Harold, and say, hey, Harold, let's get together, and you may give me a date. Oftentimes, these executives, they don't even keep their own calendars, right? So I often say, hey, Harold, who should I get in touch with in your office to put some time on your calendar? Because I know if I give it to you, you're probably going to forget. I'm probably going to miss that appointment. So I just want to make sure that you've given me the okay to reach out to April. And then I'll call April. And my message is, hey, April, Harold told me to call you to put time on my calendar. That makes it easier for you to get things in process. So these are the gatekeepers. If you can't get past the gatekeeper or you don't have a good relationship with the gatekeeper, that gatekeeper can make it easy for you to interact or they can make it difficult for you.
So April, do you think that administrative assistants, executive assistants at any level are not getting the respect that they deserve?
Absolutely.
Why is that?
A lot of times we are taken for granted in the sense that we may not know, or they can they can work around us. At the end of the day, when you and your boss have a good relationship, they're going to tell you that. They're going to say, you know, we got this. Or, you know, yeah, they can come to you and or go around you. At the end of the day, you're still going to be involved. And so there's a lot of times where there'll be someone to say, oh, I sent a message to your boss to do so-and-so. And I'm like, okay, sure you did. Back to what Deborah said. You absolutely did send him an email. However, I didn't get it, so we got to start all over again. Or it'll be, oh, yeah, you're not looking at his email? Like, no, I'm not looking at his email. That's his email for a reason. And so when you're given a name or a number, it's good to have that relationship. I mean, now just even being in my position and having to talk to other corporations, and I'm calling, I'm like, hey, I need for our bosses to get together. Let's work together. Let's go ahead and get this together. But there are a lot of times where people just will feel like they can go directly to the president and work it out and double booking.
Mm-hmm. But Mia, your experiences have not always been the best.
No, not always.
Give me a brief example of one of those more, Deborah will applaud me for saying this, one of those more challenging situations. Deborah says I'm too plain spoken and flat footed. But, you know, what is the situation that has just gotten on your nerves? What's happening?
I was speaking with the ladies in the lobby, and I was explaining to them that early in my career, I was in a position where I was supposed to be the executive assistant, but I did a lot of personal assistant duties. So I took clothes to the cleaners. I did car washes. I took cars to have their oils changed. I did. I went to bank runs, personal banks. I actually paid personal bills for the president of the company. So even though I was supposed to be the executive assistant, I did that job, but in turn did a job that I didn't sign up for, being a personal assistant. But, I mean, I was young, and I was getting into my career, and I didn't really know what an executive assistant should be. That was my first time in that role. So I just did it. It didn't bother me, you know, until later on in life. I'm like, okay, well, I probably shouldn't have been taking his clothes to the cleaners.
Mm-hmm. Is that a usual? Is that usual? I mean, this is why I asked, Deborah, because in pop culture, we see executive assistants, Girl Fridays, Guy Fridays, who are masters of, you know, what is it? Jacks of all trade, masters of none. Yeah, but they may do it any and everything. I think about that show on TV now, Billions, where the personal assistant is not only helping the CEO of the company make multi-million or billion-dollar decisions, but also watching his back as it relates to highly personal things. Who defines the role of an executive assistant?
Well, I think it first starts with what is the company policy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different if I'm the owner of my business. I can hire somebody and say, as part of your role, you'll be doing some executive assistant responsibilities, but I also need help on the personal side. I can establish those roles in my organization. If I'm working in a major organization, I feel comfortable in saying that the company's intent is not to pay for that executive assistant to walk that person's dog and to take their clothes to the dry cleaners and to do their personal banking. That is not what most companies are paying those executive assistants to do. There are job descriptions. You can start right there, right? So I also think that if you are an executive assistant and you're being asked to do some things that go beyond your job description, I don't think you need to run off to HR right away, but I think that is an opportunity for you to sit down with your boss and just get clarity. Mm-hmm. Again, clarification on the job responsibilities, and so let's talk about the expectations. And just like any other job, sometimes you have to set boundaries.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine also that has to do with defining the professional relationship also and the culture of the company.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, my boss a few years ago, I knew that I had to be at work shortly thereafter her getting there, and expected coffee. I knew exactly how she took her coffee, 3 creams, 2 sugars, certain complexion, had to be there. So it wasn't even a matter of like, oh, yeah, let me see if she wants coffee. No, she wanted coffee.
But is that in your job description?
It's not in your job description, but sometimes it's definitely about managing up. Because, again, if they feel good, it comes down. If they don't feel good, it comes down. So what little things can you do to help alleviate some things? And it's just a matter of getting to know that personality. I mean, it's really, you know, it's personalities within everything. It's with, you know, you go to the hairdresser one day, you might not be having a good day. It's the same deal. So you're going to work and it's like, okay, what little things can I do to make sure that the start of the day goes a little bit better?
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about personal assistance, executive assistance and administrative assistance. Tomorrow is, yes, it is Administrative Professionals Day, and we're trying to figure out their challenges and their struggles and how to deal with those issues. If you are having challenges on your job as an administrative assistant or an executive assistant, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Julie, calling from Springfield, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. How are you? Yes, I called tonight because this topic has just been so close to my heart. I've worked in the administrative field for over 25 years. And, you know, you take pride in what you do. I think everyone takes pride in whatever job they do. And as an administrative assistant, executive assistant, to be honest, you're like the tent pole, you know, for the office. You hold mm-hmm. everything up. And your job is basically to help other people do their job. And the one thing that is sort of a pitfall is that your day is not your own. And I think that a lot of times, you know, you come into the office and you have an idea of what needs to be done, you know, oh, I've got this to do, I've got expense reports, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, often you're sidetracked. You know, someone comes into the office with their hair on fire. Hey, I have a meeting at 2 and it's 12:30 and I need 200 copies of this 10-page report. Can you do it for me? Okay, how long have you known about this meeting? I mean, yes, I can try to do it for you, but you've got this impossible deadline. So I think a lot of times as an administrative assistant, you're kind of expected to be a magician and a problem solver. And when that fails, you fail.
Okay, interesting point. You wanted to say something about that, April.
Oh, no. I'm just saying I completely agree. Completely and utterly agree. It's that last minute rush, just making their priority my priority.
Your thoughts about that, Mia?
I agree. We tend to have our day worked out because we tend to be very good organizers, but someone will come to your desk, they need this, somebody else needs that. While you're doing that, someone will call on the phone and you just have to figure out how to get it all done.
How did you resolve your situation in the example that you shared with us?
Well, eventually the company had to lay people off and I got laid off. But I mean, it wasn't a resolution that I came to. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't say, oh, I'm not going to do this for you. As I mentioned, I was young when that happened. So I just kind of did it. I just like, okay, this is what I'm expected to do. And you, as April mentioned, you learn who you're working with. You learn who your manager is, who your president is, and you kind of want them to be happy so you can have a good day.
Interesting.
You know, one of the things I just wanted to point out, because that was a great example, is understanding what that person's job responsibilities are. I think the worst thing you can do is make the assumption that that's an executive assistant, so they do all of the administrative work. That executive assistant title could mean that they're executive assistant of the project team. They're the point person for the team. So I think there's nothing worse than not understanding what their job responsibilities are and making the assumption that their role is there to just answer the phone, handle administrative things, and take care of your last-minute items.
Good point. I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Nellie calling from Maryland, Nikki calling from Bowie. Stay on the line. Don't hang up. You will be able to hear the program. We're still taking your phone calls, as a matter of fact. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about administrative professionals, executive assistants. they really have the power in the office, believe it or not. We're going to talk about that on the other side. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM. Give us a call, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tomorrow is Administrative Professionals Day, and today we're talking about some of the challenges and struggles that those administrative professionals, those executive assistants, those real bosses in the office have. My guests are Mia Crosby. She is an administrative professional with more than a decade of experience in government relations, and April Miller. She is a special assistant to the president of the D.C. Chamber of Commerce, and Deborah Owens, of course, founder and CEO of the business and career consulting firm Corporate Alley Cat. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Nellie calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Nellie. What's on your mind? Nellie, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. Nikki calling from Bowie. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, great. I just wanted to say, I think, like you said, I've been executive assistant to two CEOs in a row, and I have to say, I'm really the boss. I really run that shop. And I think people forget about the power that the executive assistants have, because you are privy to every piece of business that comes through that door, as well as you're privy to all kinds of information, because it's your job to keep the owners in line, or, you know, the person running that department in line and keeping them on their game. So who are they going to come to you? So there's power in that. The other thing is, too, that you can, a lot of people don't realize, you know, as an assistant, you can level up that position. For me, for example, I'm the administrative officer. Right. Mm-hmm. So the next thing is next is chief administrative officer or COO. It's the same thing. I report to the CEO. I just handle all the administrative things across the board. So you can actually level up your position if you start out as an executive assistant, because you really do run things and they trust you.
Huh.
People talk about the whole personal stuff. Yeah, you know, sometimes it's crossing the line, but I think if you build a rapport, like the young lady said before, you get to know what the boundaries are, and you can have that dialogue with the person that you're working for and make it work.
Okay. Good point. Anybody with thoughts on that?
You know what? I love what she said, because think about if you're going to this person, it's a power of her role. She takes it very seriously. It's very important to her. And you go up there and you're not showing any respect. And you're treating this person, because you think they're an administrative role, as less than. And she's got the ear of the CEO. Do you see the trickle-down effect that it can have? And she's absolutely right. People may be at the executive assistant level, but you never know what their backgrounds are. I know people who've taken executive assistant position roles for very strategic reasons, because they wanted to have access to certain people, or they wanted to learn something very specific. And you may turn up the next day, facetiously, and now you're working for that person. So I think it's really important. I've seen careers derailed based on their interactions with someone's executive assistant. And as a hiring manager, one of the first things I would say to my assistant is, hey, what'd you think about that person? Do they sound good over the phone? And I want to know. They may say they were really rude, or they were really short, or when they came in, you know, they barely spoke to me. And then when you open the door, they're all smiles. That's a person whose stock immediately goes down. So if you're ever wondering, well, wow, I had such a great interaction with the boss and then something happened, it may be because word got back that you were not a very nice person to the staff. So that makes me question, how are you going to work with other people? Are you somebody who's solely focused on you and you only know how to manage up, but you don't know how to collaborate and work with other members of the team? That can hurt you. And the thing people need to know is nobody's ever going to tell you that they know.
One of the things that that April alluded to was of how you influence not only the organization, but the key person, the person that you are representing mm-hmm. in this job. And this goes back to the issue of power and influence. Your thoughts about that in your in the capacity that you serve. I mean, how, do you wield influence?
I am a firm believer in kill them with kindness. So even though I learned a long time ago, certain things sound better with a smile.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you might be saying no, if you say no with a smile, kind of comes off a little bit better. And so I try to do that. So people are like, oh, you're always so happy. I'm like, no, I mean, you get down, but it's all in how what you present forward. So sometimes people feed off of your energy. And other times they're trying to get you to give the same energy they have. So early on, I used to not rush. When everyone else was rushing and rushing and rushing, I had to just stop. Because a lot of times when you're doing that rush and you're in this mix of like, I got to hustle and bustle, you're always forgetting something. And I had to learn that early on. It was like, oh, okay, yeah, let's get it all together. And then it'll be like, oh, yeah, but you forgot like the major thing.
But what I'm speaking about more broadly.
Okay.
I'm speaking about more broadly when you may, for example, when other than perhaps the boss, you may be the only person who knows, and I think you spoke about mm-hmm. this earlier, that may know certain things, but beyond gatekeeping, mm-hmm. for example, you may know that if this deal, if it were presented yesterday when the boss was in a bad mood, that the deal may have fallen through, but because the boss is in a better mood today, then you can wield some influence in how mm-hmm. certain things are presented to the boss, to the board, what have you. Your thoughts about that, Mia?
Absolutely. I have definitely been able to share with my coworkers when my bosses have been in better moods or how they should approach a situation. I do a pretty good job with learning who my manager is, as April talked about before, and I can kind of just give a sense of, okay, this is what you should say. And at my previous job, I actually told this guy he had to do a certificate. He had to submit it into the director, and he showed it to me, and I'm like, this is bad. She's not going to like this. You need to start over. And he's like, oh, no, show it to her. I was like, no, you really need to try again. And he was like, no, I want you to show it to her. I worked on it. I'm like, okay. I walked into her office. I handed her the paper. She touched the corner and said, what is this? Tell him to start over.
Wow.
So sometimes we share that, but you know, our coworkers may not want to listen. They may want to move forward. And I mean, I'm like, go ahead if that's what you feel, but I will give you good insight on, you know, what you should do, when you should do it, how it should be presented, because we do work with them very closely every single day, so we know what they're expecting.
Mm-hmm. How do you, Deborah, advise someone who is dealing with issues of perhaps disrespect, whether it's coming from the top down or perhaps it's coming from the bottom up? Because one of the things I when we were initially discussing this, the first thing that I was thinking was, well, if you are the administrative assistant, the executive assistant for the boss, then I would think that whatever you say goes because the boss said so. And so it trickles down. Why wouldn't somebody? Oh, wow. See, April gave me the look. Okay. April.
Maybe we should start with April.
Yeah, let's start with
there
April.
There have been plenty of times where I'll ask for something. They're like, well, why do you want it? Oh, I don't know. I just wanted to go to the bathroom with it. Like, you think I just wanted to ask you for this report because I wanted to take it home and review it myself? Like, there has to be a reason I'm asking you for this report. Or I've asked you what your time is. Or are you going to be out tomorrow? Really, I just came up with it on my own.
But, I mean, would you have to say, well, I want it because the boss said
no,
so?
No, but that's what I'm saying. You get the question of why do you want it? It's like, are you kidding me? oh, I just really just wanted this because I didn't feel as though you were deserving to have the information on your own. Like, obviously, I'm asking because it's coming above me. It really is that having being that extension, and people don't think that we are an extension of the CEO or the president, where we're just, oh, we just came up with this bright idea on our own. And it's very, very often that we get that, more often than not. Absolutely.
So how do you deal with that, Deborah? Is that a result of, you know, that executive assistant saying things like, I just want to go to the bathroom with it? or is that about culture? Is that about the rank and file not really understanding the role? What do you think causes that? I would imagine it's a plethora of things.
Yeah, I think it could be any number of things. I think to people who are not administrative assistants and who are working with administrative assistance, part of it comes into your knowledge of the organization that you're working in, right? Mm-hmm. So you're always got to be scanning and seeing who the power players are, and definitely executive assistants to the CEOs are people who are high up on the chain, right? Because I'll just give you a little aside. Sometimes they keep a lot of things close to the vest. You know a lot that you can't share. But if you have a relationship with them, sometimes you may come and there may be an issue and they may say something like this to you. I think you should just hold tight. You know, they can't tell you what's happening, but they can give you the heads up, like, hold tight on that. Is something changing? I can't comment, but I think it would be good for you to just hold that for about a week, right? So you can really leverage those relationships. But if you are an executive assistant and you're having problem with disrespect, are you speaking to from the top or the bottom? I think you handle it like you would any other situation. You have the conversation. And I think April gave a very good example. I can imagine that if people come to April incorrectly, that she doesn't seem like somebody who suffers fools easily, mm-hmm. that she's going to let you know in a very nice way that you have come incorrect,
yeah.
right? So I think it goes back to having that communication and being able to share with people. Let me tell you how things operate in this office, right? Here's how I operate. This is my role. Here are my responsibilities. I'm happy to assist you with blah, blah, blah. But let me share with you. Here's how things function here. Here's the process, right? There are different ways you can kind of educate people. And then if they continue to be pains, there are ways that
those
I'm sure
can be addressed.
You can address, but here's the thing. You're not going to win in that situation.
Right.
You are not going to win in a battle with the executive to the CEO, because that is that person's right-hand person, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to find a way. Let's say I'm having an issue let's say April and I are not seeing eye to eye. Then on my hand, I need to go and have a conversation with April, just like I would anybody else, and say, hey, April, I think we got off on the wrong foot.
Mm-hmm.
I was so wrapped up in getting this project, I think I might have come in here like a bull in the china closet. You know, I want to just, you know, take a breath. Maybe we can grab some coffee, and I want to better understand your role and how we can partner. Would you be amenable to that?
Absolutely.
And I would be amenable if April said something to me like, hey, Debbie, you came in when I was having a rough day. I might have been a little curt. So I think, you know, these people are people, but you've got to have the conversations, even if they make you a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, if people continue to act like pains, and there are ways to escalate that as well.
Real quick, let me talk to Tamiko. Tamiko calling from D.C. Tamiko, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, I was calling because I really love my CEO and I love what I do, but I kind of fell into being an assistant, and I'm struggling with how do you prepare yourself for what's next? Because I know that sometimes, as you know, executive assistants get stuck in being executive assistants for their career.
Tamiko, can you hold on? I need to take a really quick 2-minute break, and then when we come back, I'll have my panelists share their thoughts about that. So please stay with us. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Putting some spec on the administrative assistants, executive assistants, those chief of staffs. They're here to help. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. We continue our conversation about administrative assistants, executive assistants, administrative professionals, and some of the struggles and challenges that they have on their jobs. Before the break, we had Tomiko. Tomiko, ask your question one more time for us, please.
Sure. I was wondering, I fell into being an assistant a couple years ago, and I love the job, but I do feel like I'm starting to outgrow some of the expectations. We've gotten into, like, you know, the daily flow. And I'm just wondering, how do you move on to the next thing in your career, the next phase of your career after being an administrative assistant?
Mia, do you have some thoughts about that?
Sure. Tomiko, first, you can think about what you actually want to do. Once you get that together, put a plan together and start to educate yourself. So I kind of fell in the role as well. And while I was in the role, I was able to get my associate's degree. Then I went to school and got my bachelor's degree. And then I went to school and got my master's degree in human resources. So currently I am planning to get out of the administrative field and to start my career in HR. But it took some planning for me and for me to really sit down and think about what it is that I wanted to do with my career.
April?
I think it's just a matter of aligning what you're currently doing into your next role. And so it may be having to take a step back in order to move forward. So you may need to say, okay, well, yeah, I'm making X amount of money here, but in order to move into another role, you may need to take a couple of dollars less in order to get out of the field if that's what you really want to do. But there are so many ways to advance as an administrative that it's not necessarily under that field. So you can be an event manager or an office manager or an HR manager. And even though it, you know, it definitely falls under the administrative field, it's based on sometimes it's just titles. And so you may just need to take a step back to take a couple of steps forward.
Real quick, Deborah, your thoughts about that?
I agree that you need a plan, but because you're in that pivotal role in some organizations, I'd begin talking to people, seeing where your skills may be the best fit. I would ask to take on other projects that will begin to position me. So, you know, if I'm interested in HR, maybe I might want to see if I can work on some things or work a little more closely with the HR team, right? I get to know them, they get to know me in another capacity. And I know April said something about maybe you have to take a little less. I would caution people against, you know, that it could happen, but I wouldn't go into it like that because, again, you're playing such a pivotal role. It's all about understanding and being able to tell the story about your transferable skills. That's the key.
Yeah. Well, Tomiko, good luck to you, and thank you so much for listening and your input. I don't want to paint this picture of this job as being all doom and gloom, because I'm sure that there are a great many pluses and a great many advantages for having these kinds of jobs and careers. So I'll start with you, April. What are some of the interactive advantages of this? I mean, and I'm not talking about political influence and power and stuff like that. Am I missing something here? Talk to me. What is it?
I mean, at the end of the day, you're never really off of work. So as much as it, you know, we get to sometimes enjoy some of the frills, like, you know, office lunches or office, you know, lunch meetings and things like that, but you're never off. So it's not really like we're not benefiting. I mean, you get to be sometimes in some great funny conversations with CEOs, and you get to hear how they think about the staff sometimes. And, you know, if you really are letting your hair down, you get some of those funny stories. But a lot of times, I don't know, maybe it's just my experience.
I can say the same thing. So forgive me for not saying they're there. Because I think that every job, and Deborah can speak to this as well, in the modern workplace, is anybody ever really off?
No, but I think if I could jump in, April,
absolutely.
Because you work with the chamber, right?
Yes.
So I would think you have access to meet a lot of business owners, a lot of really interesting people. And one of the things that we sometimes miss because we're so focused on working and getting it right, you have the opportunity to connect with and have access to people that lots of people would love that to have that opportunity. Take advantage of that opportunity to begin building those relationships. Just because you meet them once doesn't mean you can't build a relationship with that person. So when you're thinking about going up to that next level, you have your own Rolodex. You can tell how old I am. Okay. You have your own. Who uses that word, right? But you have your own network of people that you have access to because they've had a chance to meet you. They've had a chance to interact with you. And that can open a lot of doors if you leverage those experiences.
But Mia, are people, for example, who look like you, black women or black men, are they, in your experience, are they interacting? Are they doing the network inside the office or not? Or is that something that you believe still needs to be worked on, to be nourished, for example?
It needs to be nourished in some organizations. I've had different experiences everywhere I've gone. So I think it's basically the office culture and how things are ran from the top all the way down. So I think that it just depends on where you are. My job now, everyone interacts. It's a very diverse organization, and everyone is the same pretty much, you know, but I have been in organizations where, you know, it was frowned upon, or, you know, you might good morning to someone and they may look at you like you were crazy.
So why is that? Is that the subculture of a culture where you have people who look like you or who you may believe have the same experiences, maybe, as you say, it may be frowned upon? Or is that just that the attitudes of the individuals in your office is just bad?
I think, especially now with, I hate using this word, the millennials, I think we're also, it's beyond color and sex. It's ageism. We have a lot of ageism now because you're younger and you haven't been in the industry for so long. We get a lot more of that we are judged based on what we're perceived to know and not know. It has nothing to do with how much experience, how much education you've had, what you really can be capable of doing. It's really relative to your age.
Generational issues. So how do you remedy that? Rolodex.
I feel like a dinosaur.
No, not at all.
So I think it's important, regardless of what the culture is in your organization, it's incumbent on you to get out there and meet people. I'm going to give you a quick story. There was a woman, a lovely woman in an organization I worked with for years. She was our security. She knows everybody in the company. And obviously, I had a relationship with her. I knew about her family and her kids. And I was surprised when I talked to people and I'm like, you know, so-and-so. And they're like, who's that? I'm like, do you come in here every morning and you don't say hello to the person who's your security? I mean, this is somebody who, one, was just a lovely person just in general. But, you know, there were times when she'd be like, so-and-so's here to see you. Here's some sanitizer because they're really sick. You might want to wipe stuff down. Or, hey, did you know X, Y, and Z was going on? But I really want to say to people, stop walking past people that you see every day and not saying at least good morning. You know you weren't raised like that. Say good morning. There is no culture that is frowned upon. Now, other people may not do it, and that's fine. You'll just be known as the person who greets everybody. I don't think that's a bad thing. But I also think sometimes we can go in organizations, and you don't see a lot of people who look like us, but then you may see some administrative assistants who look like us. And I don't know why you don't go over and introduce yourself, because that's a power player. That's somebody who can tell you a lot of stuff that's going on in this organization. They can tell you who you need to know, who you need to stay away from, how things operate off the books. So I want to encourage people, if nothing else, if you don't know your administrative staff, then you need to go over and get to know them. And you can start tomorrow with a gift. Because, April, how do you feel when somebody that you see every day and doesn't speak to you, and then they come and they need something at the last minute?
Hello, how are you?
You see that smile?
Yeah, there it is.
Is that nasty, nice smile?
Yeah, that might be. That's the nasty right? smile.
Right, so you can't expect people, like, you know, you've been walking past my desk for 4 months. Now all of a sudden you want a favor from me.
Because you need something.
Because you need, how do you feel? You don't feel good. That is not how you build relationships. You build the relationship before you need something. And start by treating your administrative staff like you would treat anybody else on the team. I hate seeing that.
I only have a few minutes left, but I wanted to get Oh, wow. Do you need a moment?
I was taking a moment, but I feel very passionate that you should treat everybody with respect. I don't care what their role is.
And I appreciate the passion, and I wholeheartedly agree. Absolutely. Mia, so far through your career, what is the one thing that you would say that you have learned as, you know, an administrative executive position, executive assistant that is most important?
I've learned how to deal with multiple personalities. Mm-hmm. That has been, you know, you go from angry to nice to angry and nice to passive aggressive. Like, you come into contact with everyone. So it has definitely helped me to be able to manage different personalities, mm-hmm, and not take things so personal.
Mm-hmm. April?
Managing up. It took a while to, especially being an admin to an EA, how to do that. Because as an admin, you're used to just getting things thrown at you. Like, okay, type up this letter, answer this phone, do this, do that. And when, as an EA, you have to say, did you answer your phone? Did you answer that email? Did you do this? Did you do that? Are we on top of these things? Like, where are we going with it? And it took a while to get into that groove.
Sounds like babysitting almost.
Hey, manage up.
There you go. Deborah, I'll let you have the last word. The most important thing for administrative professionals to know.
I think the most important thing for administrative professionals to know is to know your value and to know that you are a critical part of the team and not to let anybody feel less than. If you need to, set those boundaries. And I also want to say something to people who are not part of the administrative team. You need to respect those people and build relationships with those people, because if you don't, you are putting yourself at a disadvantage, right? Another quick story. One of the things, a colleague of mine used to say, how'd you get on so-and-so's calendar? I'm like, I went through Janet. Who do you go to? He's like, I can't get any time. I said, that's because you don't spend any time with her. I said, I go up to her desk and I stand over her and I go, hey, does he have a 15-minute break any place? She's like, oh, I think we can, if you come up here at 9:15. Those are the relationships. Those are the things you can leverage. And that's how other people are able to get on people's calendars and get in front of people when you can't. So be respectful, build relationships, and then don't be scared to leverage those relationships. Mm-hmm. And I think that for administrative assistants too, to leverage those relationships and those people you're interacting with.
You won't know until you ask.
Absolutely.
There you go. Well, there you go. Mia,
get scrappy.
Get scrappy.
Get scrappy.
Go ahead. You've been real scrappy today.
I don't know what's going on today. I don't know.
Because you are around great administrative professionals.
Women. There you
professionals.
Go. That's
there
fine.
You go.
That's fine.
Mia Crosby, April Miller, Deborah Owens, thank you all so much for talking to me. I think I've learned quite a bit, as a matter of fact, today. I appreciate
thank
your
you
time.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141, for this Tuesday, April 23rd. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.